Yes, we can hear you.
Quite right. First, I would like to thank the organizers, all the organizers, for the kind invitation for this wonderful workshop. I really hope that I could attend this workshop on site. Unfortunately, I could not travel because of the restriction. Can you see the screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you.
Chalk.
Yeah, because I cannot get the travel permission from my university due to the COVID restriction. We are still in the partial lockdown in Beijing. All right. Today I will discuss about deconfined conicality, its emergent SO5 symmetry in numerical models. If I have more time, I could discuss briefly about the emergent supersymmetry at conicality. Before I start the content of this talk, I would like to thank the collaborators of the two works. The two works on this slide. They are Zhiqiang Li, was my former student, a postdoc at Berkeley, now junior faculty, just moved to IOP as a junior faculty. Chao Kai Jian, also a former student of mine at Tsinghua University, now a postdoc at Brandeis, and Wilm, who learn as a junior faculty. Abu Hassan, who's a postdoc at Stanford, now faculty at Sheriff University of Technology. Chris Mendel at TU Dresden. Here's the outline of this talk. Let's see. The outline of this talk. First, I will give you some brief introduction about the quantum criticality, probably not necessary for this workshop. And after that, I will discuss a deconfined quantum critical point with emergent SO5 symmetry between antiferromagnetism and when it's spun solid in a two-dimensional Dirac fermion model. We believe that this is the first example of DQCP, deconfined quantum critical point with emergent SO5 symmetry, which has critical exponent consistent with the conformal bond, conformal bootstrap bond, which I will discuss in detail later. And then I will discuss some study on emergent supersymmetry at superconducting quantum critical point in a single direct cone model in two dimension or the surface of a three dimensional topological space. In the end, I will summarize. A quantum phase transition is a phase transition at zero temperature by tuning one parameter in the Hamiltonian. A quantum phase transition can be first order or continuous or second order. Continuous means second order. Note that a first order phase transition is not forbidden by any principle. Namely, nothing stops a first order phase transition. For instance, if I have an Ising transition, I could write down this Ginsburg number of free energy for the Ising transition. And there's no principle which determines the sign of the fourth order term U. So when U is positive or negative, when U is negative, and then it's a first order phase transition in the conventional Ginsburg non-null theorem. namely, there is no principle stop a first order phase transition for almost every transition, possible transition. A quantum critical point of QCP is a continuous quantum phase transition. There are many exotic features at quantum critical point, such as emergent symmetries at the QCP. For instance, SO5 symmetry, which was not present in the microscopic model, can emerge at the QCP. Even a supersymmetry can emerge at QCP. Okay, let's go. Okay. So if we have a direct phase transition between two broken symmetry phases or two competing orders, one central question asked is whether this transition, the direct transition between two broken symmetry phases, is first order or second order. If these two broken symmetries are not compatible in the sense of one is the other's subgroup, Donald's theory tells us that a continuous phase transition is forbidden. And this is the number of criteria which dictates that such transition has to be a first order phase transition. For instance, if we have a direct phase transition between a superconducting state and anticonducting state, this is case A and C, and Nandor theory tells us that the transition between the superconducting state and this anticonducting state and the superconducting state, if this the transition is a direct transition, has to be a continuous transition. The question one would like to ask that can such the case of C can emerge at some system, quantum systems. Can non-forbidden a continuous phase transition occur? So in 2004, there's a beautiful proposal by Santiel Ashwin et al. They propose that a continuous phase transition can occur between antiphonetic order, nail antiphonetic order, and when it's from a solid phase, the nail antiphonetic order breaks the spin rotational symmetry and time reversal symmetry. So when it's from a crystal or when it's from a solid, breaks the lattice crystal symmetry, lattice translation and rotational symmetry, and these are two totally different broken symmetry phases. And they argue that it's possible to have a direct continuous transition between antiphonetic state and VBS state, which is totally beyond Landau. And the argument is that the topological defect of one phase carries the quantum number of the other phase. For instance, the vortex, the VBS vortex carries a spin on quantum number. For instance, here it has the spin 1/2 quantum number. When this topological defect condenses, it will lead to the other phase. Namely, at this putative quantum critical point, spin on R deconfined. So that's the name, a deconfined quantum critical point, DQCP. And between this antiphonetic state and VBS state, if DQCP emerges, occurs, there's an argument that this five component autoprimate can have some emergent SO5 symmetry at the putative DQCP. the five component from three component from the antimagnetic state and two component from the VBS ordering. So the microscopic model, which was proposed by Sandwich in 2007, the so-called JQ model, which by tuning the ratio of Q over G and the model at zero temperature can have a quantum phase transition from antimagnetic state to a VBS state. When Q is small, it's an antimagnetic state on the square lattice, which breaks the spin rotational symmetry. When Q is large, it's a VBS state. And it does very convincing numerical evidence that the transition, there's a direct transition between antimagnetic state and VBS state. Moreover, previous quantum Monte Carlo simulation shows that show evidence of DQCP and obtained various critical exponents, such as the Alamos dimension of the order parameter eta and the correlation length exponent mu. And this is the definition of Alamos dimension of the order parameter. D is a space-time dimension. And this is the definition of this correlation as exponent. And previous quantum Monte Carlo simulation shows that the Alamos dimension of this order parameter, either AFM order parameter or VBS order parameter, the Alamos dimension is between 0.2 and 0.4. There are various numerical studies, and they have slightly different numerical result for the Alamos dimension. However, a few years ago, there is a very nice conformal bootstrap calculation shows that assuming emergent SO5 symmetry at a putative DQCP, the calculation shows that the critical exponent has to satisfy some bound. For instance, the Alamos dimension of eta has to be larger than 0.52. So that's the quite or quasi rigorous result bound for the Alamos dimension of the order parameter if the transition between FM and VBS is a DQCP with SO5 symmetry. Under this assumption, they obtained this bound. However, as I mentioned in the last slide, all previous study quantum Monte Carlo simulation of the spin model obtained 0.4, at most, 0.2 to 0.4, at most 0.4, which clearly violates this the bound obtained from this conformal bootstrap. So this implies that this spin model may not support genuine DQCP with emergent SO5 symmetry. Instead, this FM VBS transition in those models probably weakly first order with extremely long correlation lengths, such that the numerical simulation doesn't see the clear evidence of the first order transition because the system size studied is probably less than the correlation length at the transition. However, these results from this model.
There is a question. There's a question in the audience.
Yes.
Sorry, Hong, I have a question here. So I want to understand clearly what is the statement you're making. So are you saying that numerically the transition could be weakly first order that is one way out of it? Or another way, if it is a DQCP with a continuous transition, then there is no emergent SO5, and that's one way to get out of the the bootstrap bound? What is your statement?
Yeah, there's I think that you're correct. There are two ways. I think there are two ways out. One way is that this DQCP does not have emergent SO5 symmetry.
Okay.
And the other is that the model we studied may not be the model we, I mean, the maybe there are some other models which have a DQCP with emergent SO5 symmetry, namely satisfying the bound.
Okay, I see.
So okay. as I mentioned earlier, so when you see a transition, which is the first order, doesn't mean such transition cannot be continuous. So nothing stops a first order phase transition. Although the model we have studied, like JQ model and loop model, and they all have this anomalous dimension theta between 0.2 and 0.4, it doesn't rule out other possibilities. Later we will see that it might just indicate that those models we studied are not the correct place to look for such exotic quantum criticality. Okay. So you are assuming of emergent SO5 symmetry and these previous models violate the bound, and so this likely weakly first order phase transition with long correlation. And the question we would like to ask is it possible to have DQCP with emergent SO5 symmetry in other two-dimensional models, quantum models? And we studied a model in on the Hanekom lattice with Dirac fermions. And on the Hanekom lattice, the VBS has VBS has two component order parameter, and the Antoine-Rat order has three component order parameter. And Antoine-Rat order breaks SO3 symmetry, and VBS breaks the translation symmetry, loose three translation symmetry. And so if we have the underlying system, underlying model have two Dirac fermions. For instance, on graphene, right? You have two Dirac fermions with two valley and spin up, spin down. And then we can use these Dirac fermions to get this order parameter. Okay. So this psi k is the Dirac fermion at the plus k value. So psi minus k is the Dirac fermion at k prime or minus k. And so we can form this nail order parameter out of these Dirac fermions. And S is the polymatrix in the spin indices. Sigma is the polymatrix in the valley indices. And this VBS order parameter, which is a scattering from this one Dirac point to the other Dirac point, which breaks translation symmetry. So now from these Dirac fermions, we can have this five component order parameter. Moreover, so if we integrate out these Dirac fermions, we will get a nonlinear small model with a non-trivial Western window Witten term at level one. Okay, plus some high order terms. And this the appearance of this topological term is a hallmark of the non-Witten transition, and is conjectured to play a central role in driving this a DQCP. here I'd like to mention that the bare value of this this nonlinear super model, the coupling G, is proportional to 1 over mf. Mf is the mass of the fermions at the transition between Fm and Vbs. Okay. So by dimensional counting, so G is has the dimension of 1 over mass. A small fermion mass means a strong coupling on G. And this turned out to be very, very important. That's the reason we study the fermion. In Bose model, it doesn't have such fermionic fermions in the model. The model we studied is the extended Hubbard model on the harmonic analysis. This is the microscope model. And T is just nearly stable Hopping. U is the on-site Hubbard U, positive U. And J is the Hopping on Leonis labor bound Hopping square. You can imagine you get this by integrating out some SSH bound phonon, get this kind of coupling. Okay. It turns out that this model is sign problem free, and so that we can use large scale quantum Monte Carlo to simulate this model to map out the quantum phase diagram as a function of U, the parameter U and J. And here, this is the phase diagram we obtained. It has three phases. When the interaction is weak, certainly it's a direct semi-metal with two direct points. Okay. And when U is large, when J is zero, U is large, we know it's an antiferromagnetic state. And actually there's a large range of antiferromagnetic state. And it turned out that there's a small a region of VBS. Okay. And so we found that there's a direct phase transition between this VBS state and antiferromagnetic state in this model. And then we ask, what is the nature of this direct transition? Is it first order or second order? And then ask, does SO5 symmetry emerge at the transition if it's a continuous transition? Okay, this is the result of our quantum Monte Carlo simulation. And we found that the transition is continuous. We obtain evidence of continuous phase transition when U is not small. When U is 0.5, this point, 0.5, 1.0, and 1.5. For these three points, and we obtain evidence of a continuous phase transition. But when U is small, especially when U equal to zero or U equal to 0.2, when U is small in this region, and we obtain evidence of a first order phase transition. So there's a tricritical point which separates a continuous phase transition and first order phase transition. Okay. And then we analyze the critical exponent for this continuous phase transition, especially for this U equal to 1.0, we analyze the critical exponent, and we found that the anomalous dimension of the order parameter eta, which is about 0.5 line, and 1 over nu is about 1.74, okay, from our finite size scaling. So I won't go into the details of this numerical analysis. So this is the result we obtain. GC is the critical point when U equal to 1. Okay. GC is the critical value separating the VDS and the state. And interestingly, and the result we obtained, eta equal to point, especially eta equal to point 5 line, actually consistent with this the bound obtained from conformal bootstrap. The conformal bootstrap result saying that eta is has to be larger than point 5.2. So our result is 0.5 line, which is consistent with the bound. And the one value is also consistent with this conformal bound.
So I have a question again, Hong. I have a question.
Yes.
So yeah. I don't quite understand your extrapolation. So like, what are the system sizes you're looking at from the Monte Carlo?
The largest system size we studied, I think, if I remember correctly, is 24. 24 by 24 by 2. 24 times 20.
I see.
Four.
So
number
the,
of unit sales.
Right. So in your scaling, eta as a function of 1/L, the value one over that L equal to infinity, that's probably the bootstrap value. Because, right?
You mean here, like this largest system size.
Yeah, so how is that, so you have the 4 points from your Monte Carlo. Why is it, it's not a linear scaling. You're obviously putting some scaling ansatz.
It's a quadratic fitting of these 4 points.
And that is, where is that insight coming from? The quadratic?
It has 3 parameters, the quadratic fitting. And so I think the light scene is that the VBS eta and this FM eta, they are different for finite size. And actually they, when extrapolate to thermodynamic limit, actually they converge to the same value within numerical error bound.
Right. So my question is, are you requiring that it converge to the bootstrap value for eta, or are you, guided by the
fit? We assuming you don't have any knowledge of conformal bootstrap, so just do the finite size scaling. This is the result we obtain.
But then my question is, what is guiding whether the scaling behavior is quadratic or linear or something else? What is the
quadratic?
Yeah, but what is guiding that? What is the theory behind that quadratic fit?
Oh, so here, so just use the polynomial to fit this finite size result.
Okay,
and I don't. This is. I mean, usually at this you can have not the integer power. Sometimes people use 1/L to some fractional power as a fitting parameter. Here we just use this polynomial. I think as long as L is large enough, that's the same. I'm not sure I made it clear.
You can go ahead. Continue with your talk.
Okay. So this is really the first numerical study which shows that this putative VBS FM transition has critical exponent which are consistent with the conformal bootstrap. Very recently, just last month, we learned there is a two separate work by Xiang group, Yang Qi and Ziyang Meng, and the other group. And they studied the same model, the square lattice pi flux model. They studied the VBS to FM transitions. They found that eta is surprisingly close to the value we obtained 3 years ago. And we studied totally different model. And this the model they studied is the pi flux model on the square lattice. So it has Z4 symmetry. We have Z3 symmetry, rotational symmetry. Moreover, the interaction they studied is just the density interaction on the plaquette. So we, from two different, totally different model and different, also different lattice, and we obtain roughly the same result. And I think that's encouraging to say that the result probably, the finite size scaling probably the result doesn't suffer much from the finite size scaling. And although, okay, as I mentioned, the fermionic model,
Can I ask something? So what is the exponent new in this more recent paper?
I'm sorry?
So what is the exponent new?
New. So their result, they haven't computed new. I think especially for the VBS, I think they haven't computed new because the scaling is probably not good enough. But the value eta, they studied the same model. The value eta, they agree with each other. And,
okay.
My impression is that they haven't get result of you, okay. New. Yeah, that's, I might be wrong. But at least for eta, I have a clear, they clearly stated that the eta they obtained is very consistent, very close to the value we obtained earlier.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah. So now, and we also, so from here, we have confidence that the transition might be a continuous phase transition. And then we start to look for evidence of emergent SO5 symmetry. And so if SO5 symmetry emerges at this putative quantum critical point, and such value, like the n is the x component, n1 is x component of this FM autoparameter, phi1 is the x component of the VBS autoparameter. If there's an emergent SO5, this value at the critical point should be zero. The expectation value of F24 should be zero if SO5 symmetry emerges. And indeed, we computed this expectation value. The black side, black square is the value for critical J. Okay, we obtained which is very close to zero within the numerical error bar. But away from the critical JC, the result is non-zero. That's expected because there's no isopar symmetry away from the critical point. And this F44, this value is also close to zero when we do a finite size scaling. Okay, this is a black square. But away from critical point, obviously, clearly not. So this, so here is just the U1 symmetry between this phi 1 and phi 2. Originally, phi 1 and phi 2, the VBS autopilot only has these three symmetry. But at the critical point, it looks have U1 symmetry. And so this provides a convincing example of DQCP with emergent SO5 symmetry. Again, there's really a puzzle why previous result they obtained. I mean, for the JQ model, they certainly have much larger system size studied by quantum Monte Carlo, like a few hundred. And the largest system size we studied for the Fermial model is 24. And why we have a different result, how to reconcile, understand the result. And based on the previous result from JQ and other bosonic models, so there's a proposal of this pseudo criticality or quasi-criticality by Chong and so basically they think that this FM to VBS transition is not continuous in the thermodynamic. So it's a first order phase transition, but with a very large, very long correlation length. So they argue that the correlation length is long, doesn't depend on the details, but depends on some robust quantity like dimension. So here they do some algebra analysis of this nonlinear signal model with the Western nominal Witten term, level k. Here I wrote k equal to 1. So they think that the physical system, which is epsilon equal to 1, the 2 plus 1 dimension, d equal to 3, the physical system actually on this line, okay, the red line. And when epsilon equal to 0, we know that, so this is the 1 plus 1 dimensional Weissman-Witten model. So it's a critical phase. So it has a non-trivial fixed point at finite G. But they think that this physical dimension D equal to 3 or epsilon equal to 1 is above the fixed point line. So I didn't write down the RG flow equation here. And so this physical dimension is very close to this pseudo fixed point. And this is G tilde and epsilon tilde. Namely, the epsilon tilde is slightly less than 1. I think it's around 0.7. And since this physical dimension is very close to this pseudo fixed point. And so when the system, if we start from here and we flow very slowly past this pseudo critical point, such that eventually the transition is controlled by this this fixed point at weak coupling G. Namely, it has order. So it's a first order phase transition, but the correlation length might be very, very long. If the Bayer value G start from here. If the Bayer value G start from here, you can still get a short correlation length. Okay, it just depends on the model you start with. And but so this is the result. They get inspired from the previous calculation of this JQ model with Alarmist dimension eta, sorry, which is a lot consistent with the conformal bootstrap calculation. But our model actually supported the second scenario, namely the physical dimension actually is has this RG flow, namely there's two fixed points which intersect with the physical dimension d equal to 3. And when the bare value g is small, and you indeed get the first order phase transition. When the bare value g is large, you get the transition is controlled by this the stable fixed point g star. So let me explain a little bit more about the second scenario from our model. Okay, so as I mentioned at the beginning, so this model has the mass Dirac fermion. When we integrate out fermions, we obtain this nonlinear signal model with this Wesson-Minow-Witten term. This coupling of this nonlinear signal model is one over the fermion mass. So I would like to explain that the mass from the VBS to the FM transition, the fermion mass is always finite on this line, on this phase transition line. Okay, the bosonic excitation vanishes, the gap vanishes across the transition, but the fermion mass is always finite from the VBS to FM transition. And so that's the reason we integrate out the fermions to get this get this nonlinear signal model with Wesson-Minow-Witten term. So now when the system is close to the multi-political point, the M is a multi-political point. At the multi-political point, the mass equal to zero, since it's close to the Dirac fermion. So the mass starts from the multi-political point and then start to increase if I move along this direction. Okay, so I think, yeah, so in this region, when the mass is small, okay, namely G is large. So on this side, so this transition is controlled by this stable fixed point G star. So that's a continuous phase transition. When the mass is large, for instance, you can imagine that the bosonic model with an extremely large mass. So here, when the mass is large, here, the transition is far away from this graph point. The mass is large. And then when the mass is large, G is small. And then we end up here in this region. So the transition is controlled by this fixed point. And that's the first order phase transition. So our global phase diagram with a multi-political point and a tri-political point are consistent with this scenario. Yeah, I think my time is probably up. I just summarized the first part and then I just jump to the summary. I jump to the summary in case people ask me about the supersymmetry. So I hope that I have convinced you that the DQCV with emergent SO5 symmetry is shown to occur at this transition in Dirac fermion model. We think that this is a convincing example of DQCP with emergent SO5 symmetry with a consistent critical exponent with the bond, conformal bootstrap bond. Okay, with that, let me thank you for attention. I would be happy to take questions.
Yeah, questions.
So the
hi. Yeah, so I have.
Hello, can you hear me? Hi.
Yes.
So my question is on these plots, kind of anomalous dimension. I mean this crossing point analysis, that was scanning by for fixed u as a function of j, or for fixed j as a function of u, or how? I mean, at which point at the which transition point was this actually?
Okay, let me go back. Okay, so this transition we fix u, and then study the transition as a function of j.
And for
instance, we fix. Yeah.
You fix u at u equals 1, for which value?
Yeah, let's say u equal to 1. This line. Can you see my pointer?
Yes. Yes. Can see it well.
Okay.
And so, how do these plots look like if you change u? So, for example,
oh, you
u
mean
equals
go
half.
Vertically.
Pardon me?
You mean
so if
change
you
fix
no,
j?
No, sorry. No. If you change the fixed value of u, so you fix u equals a half, for example, and then do you get precisely the same exponents, or do they change as a function?
Yeah. So, for instance, we studied these three values, 0.5,
yes.
Yeah, 0.5, 1, and 1.5. These three values, that's the numerical point.
And how do the exponents change as a function of u?
It doesn't change much within numerical error bar. It's a 0.58, 0.5 line.
Okay, thanks.
For these three values.
Yes.
And so we choose this value 1.0 because it's a lot too close to the multicritical point, not too close to the tricritical point.
Yeah, I also have a.
There's one more question here. There's one more question here. Hang on.
Yes.
I also have a follow-up question. So basically,
I'll wait.
For your model, I think you mentioned you checked numerically that at u equals zero it is first order.
Yeah.
So basically, at u equals zero, I think you would have a higher symmetry in terms of the fermion parity as an order parameter, right? So you also have an Ising order parameter.
Yeah.
Then it's
exactly right. That's a good question. Yeah.
So basically,
when
that's not only
zero,
like a question of how big is the viral G, right?
So here,
even the symmetry is different.
Yeah, the symmetry, you have additional Z2 symmetry.
So is there any generic reason that it has to be first order, or it's just a numerical?
We think that you have two Western Zeruner random terms. When you integrate out, so basically, when u equal to zero, and this antiparametric state for this u equal to zero line, the antiparametric state is degenerate with the pseudo spin antiparametric state, namely CdW and superconductivity.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And then when you integrate out fermions, so now when you write down the nonlinear sigma model and the Western Wiener term, this antiparametric order with VBS can form a Western Wiener term. And the pseudo spin antiparametric order and with VBS and can also form a Western Wiener Wiener term. So that's you have more order parameters. So the symmetry is different. You are totally right. And but if we slightly, that's the reason we also started 0.2.
Mm-hmm.
When u equal to 0.2, and the symmetry, the symmetry between the pseudo spin and the spin is lost, and we still have a first order phase transition. Namely, we have a first order line.
Okay.
So the tricritical point is not exactly at the equal to zero, but finite U.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so that's a good question.
I have another question, Honga. Igor here. Sure. So when I look at your two plots on this slide, you have these exponents at fixed size. Usually we get exponents from combining different sizes and looking for finite size scaling. So exponents are sort of aggregate information about how good finite size scaling is. But this is not what you do. So I assume that you look at some correlators at fixed size, at distances, which presumably are much smaller than the size. So I'm a little bit surprised that your error bars are pretty much non-existent, because I would imagine such a procedure would have pretty large error bars. Is that what you do, or you have some other procedure for extracting exponents at fixed size?
Yeah, so we followed the procedure used by Barker Assad previously. And this, so when you have this scaling, and then you look at the AL and AL plus 3, and then you take a derivative, and you get this. So there are other ways to get this anomalous dimension, like from the collapse, data collapsing, and we haven't tried that.
Yeah, I think you should try to collapse the data for differences in sizes.
Do I get your question correctly?
Yeah, I heard you. I think you should try to collapse the data for all of these correlators at different system sizes, extract the best possible value of exponents from that, and then compare them for the two.
I think that's a good suggestion. So we haven't do the data collapsing, the usual data collapsing to get the critical exponent. And I think we will do that. I think here we are very happy that these two actually they extrapolate to the same value. Yeah, we should compare this value, extrapolate value, with the data collapse. Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
So hi Hong. This is Vekia.
Yes. I will be nice to see you. I cannot see any of you.
Ah, you can't. Yeah, yes, I can't see you either.
Possible.
So if you do simulations of the SO5 nonlinear sigma model with the Vesemino-Witten term, then you would claim that you would see an anomalous an eta which is yours, basically 0.59. Correct?
Yeah.
So you know that Senju did these calculations with this Landau level regularization scheme. Of course, the system size are pretty small, but the results he get were consistent with 0.28, right? Just to add to the confusion.
Yes.
Correct,
no,
Senju?
Sorry.
So
if
Senju
you start
is online.
That's a good point. I think this very. So if you start from this this nonlinear sigma model, and then if G is small, if G is here, and then you get a first order phase transition. I mean when G is close to this tricritical value, and then you will get a large correlation length, and the transition looks like continuous phase transition, but with not genuine eta. So even though you simulate this nonlinear sigma model, it's still possible to get a first order phase transition, right?
But then,
do I get your question?
What would be the CFT fin for your continuous transition? That would not be the nonlinear sigma model.
Yeah, it's a nonlinear sigma model. The CFT is the value, the fixed point value is G star. So if you change I don't know how to change in the model you mentioned the bare value of G to make it large. If you have a large G, the way we make G large is by make fermion mass small. If you have a way to get large value of G, you start with large value of G, and then I think the transition is controlled by this this continuous the transition, the fixed bond, G star.
Okay, thank you. Since it's time for lunch here, I think we will finish this session and thank all the speakers in the morning.
Thank you.